Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You may be seated. Let me say at the very outset that this has been, for me, a tremendous occasion. I never thought in my life that I would be in this part of the country ministering the word of the Lord. But when a man yields himself to the Lord, he doesn't know where the Lord is going to send him nor how the Lord is going to use him. We used to sing a song in Pentecost early, "I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, over mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be." And I'm here because I said yes to the Lord. And I am glad to be here. I have enjoyed myself immensely. I had never seen you before. No, I doubt whether the few of you have ever seen me. But I feel like I've been here all my life. And I think that's the way it ought to be. I don't think that a child of God ought to be a stranger but once. And that's before he meets the other saints. But upon meeting them, all the strangeness should be gone. For we belong to a common family, believe it or not. We have one father, one mother, one spirit, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father, who is above us, who is through us, who is in us all. And if we're going up, we're going to one heaven. And if we're going down, we're going to one hell. Praise the Lord. It's oneness all the way through, you know, whether you believe it or not. Praise the Lord. There won't be a trinity of hell. There'll just be one. And there won't be a trinity of heaven. There'll just be one. No more than there's a trinity of God. There's just one. Hallelujah. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. I want to thank Elder Upton for inviting me. I want to thank Sister Upton and the daughter and this church for treating me royally. I could not have been treated better anywhere this side of eternity. And I've enjoyed it to such a degree that I'd like to come back sometime. The fact of the matter is, I've already committed myself to being back in this area sometime when I have time, and I surely will enjoy coming back to see you again. Let me say to you that if we don't meet here again, there's going to be a meeting in the air. And I've made up my mind I'm going to be one of the attendants to that meeting. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I've made up my mind. It will not be held on earth. You'll have to fly to get there. But you can't take American. You can't take United. You can't take Texas International. You can't take Pan Am. You can't take T. TWA, you can't take it because the flight is going straight up. And they don't have any airplanes that fly straight up. So you have to be spirit-filled and Holy Ghost anointed to attend that meeting. But if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can't even get to the meeting. Amen. It'll not be held in Baton Rouge, nor New Orleans, or Indianapolis, or Chicago, or New York, or Paris, France, or Rome, Italy. It will be held in the skies, far above all heaven. And you'll have to have the Holy Ghost to get there. The body you live in now will not even get you there. You have to have a different kind of body to get there. This body can't even fly there. The friction would burn you up. We're flying too fast. Amen. Some years ago, they shut off one of those giant pieces of equipment down in Cape Kennedy, headed somewhere out in space at the rate of 27,500 miles an hour. That's moving. That's moving. But I have news for NASA. We're going to move faster than that. Oh, yes. We're moving faster than that. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to move from wherever we are on earth into the presence of Jesus. Have you ever stopped to think how fast you bat your eye? Scientists have clocked the batting of an eye and said you bat your eye at 1/24th of a second. 1/24th of a second. I'm going to leave from wherever I am down here into the presence of God. That it would burn you up. Your body can't take that without being transformed. By the time you could bat your eye, you couldn't even say hallelujah. You'd say ha, and hallelujah would be on the other side. You say G, and just would be where he would be. Glow, and re would be over there. Just that fast. I'm expecting to go. I have my ticket. It has already been approved. And I am already booked for the flight. Hallelujah. I'm booked for the flight. And I'm just as sure as my name is Morris Golder that I'm going. I have no doubts. And I'm not shook up about it. If I don't live to go, I'll die to go. Hallelujah. I don't have to be alive to go. If I die, I'm still going. And you know what? You can't beat me there. If you're still alive when that time comes, you can't go without me. You're not going a step before I catch up with you to go up with you. Them that sleep will not prevent those that are awake. And those that are awake shall not prevent those that are asleep. Hallelujah. The dead in Christ shall be raised first. And we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together. I've been let that alone. That's what I'll be preaching tonight, but I have something else in mind. We've been talking about prayer. And I want to wind up these three nights by talking to you some more about it. But I want to talk talk to you about the boldness that we ought to have in approaching the throne of God. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of God. Boldly. And he gives us reason why. No child of God should have any doubts, have any qualms about approaching the throne. It's a privilege. It's an honor. It's a high honor for a man who lives on earth to talk to the throne. I love to pray. Have always. There have been many nights in my life I've prayed all night. And it wasn't a penalty. It was a privilege.
All right.
And when you consider what is involved in praying, it'll take away that would cause it to seem to many a penalty. When you stop to consider that a man that prays is talking directly to the throne of God. There is no in-between. There is nobody that he has to pray to like Roman Catholicism would tell you. That none of us are worthy of talking directly to God. And in their religious thinking, they have a catalog of saints. Persons that they feel that have arisen above the normal, and because of tremendous miraculous works they have attained unto sainthood. And that catalog of saints are there that you as a worshiper might pray to them and they take your prayer to God. You're not worthy. And if you need heaven to hear your prayer, it all depends on who and what you desire, who you pray to. For instance, if one of these musicians wanted God to help him, the musicians have a patron saint. That's what they say, yes, thank you. And musicians pray to that patron saint. And that patron saint takes their prayers to God. All of you that come by automobile and you want God to smile on you and bless you and help you to get back home safely, there's a saint you're supposed to pray to that gives you protection anywhere you travel. He's the patron saint of travel. And, of course, Mary, the mother of Jesus, is always one to whom they pray. But I have news for the Roman Catholic Church, and for you too. As a believer in Jesus, as one of his children, I don't need anybody to pray to get my prayer through. I can do my own praying for myself. And I can talk directly to the throne of God. And I can talk anytime I get ready, 24 hours a day. I like the song we used to sing. I think I quoted it the other night. Central's never busy. Always on the line. You can hear from heaven almost any time. Tis a royal service. Free for one and all. When you get in trouble, give that royal line a call. Telephone to glory. Oh, what joy divine. I can feel the current moving on the line. Built by God the Father for his love and own. And you can talk to Jesus on this royal telephone. I love Jesus tonight. And I love him because not only did he first love me, but I love him for what he has done for my benefit. When you study the New Testament and you read the gospel records, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see Jesus as he did for us a work on earth. He came in the world, lived as the Son of God. He rebuked devils, he cast out demons, he healed sick, he raised the dead. He performed miracles. He went to Calvary and was buried in a borrowed tomb and arose on Easter morning and ascended on high. He accomplished a phase of salvation for us while he was here. But it was not all over when he left. We're going to need Jesus until we get home. Did you hear me? And we're going to need him to help us get home. Hallelujah. The book of Hebrews tells us what Jesus is doing for us now. He not only is our Savior, not only is our Lord, but in our text, he is called the great high priest. And he is a high priest not over the nation of Israel, because he could not be a priest in Israel. He did not come out of the tribe that would allow him to be a priest in Israel. All the priests in Israel came out of the tribe of Levi, out of the house of Aaron. And our Lord was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And there was nothing said of the tribe of Judah that pertained to the priesthood. But according to the 10th chapter of this book of Hebrews, we have a high priest over the house of God. He is there for our benefit. I need one and you need one. Hallelujah. We need him. Pardon me, and I might get on your toes, but we need him for our failures. I know there's some folks that don't think they have any, but let me alert you and enlighten you tonight. You have some. Oh, yes. Of all the times you should have been in the house of God that you didn't get there, you need somebody to help you. Of all the times you took the tithe that belonged to God, you need somebody to help you. Of all the times that you needed some love in your heart that you didn't have, you need somebody to help you. Of all the times it become problematic, you forgiving your brother or sister, you need somebody to help you. Of all the times you found it hard for you to humble yourself, and pride and arrogance was eating at the very heart of your being, you need somebody to help you. All the time you found it difficult to have mercy on one of your brothers or sisters, you needed somebody to help you. When you found it hard to be patient and forbearing with one of your erring brothers and sisters, you needed somebody to help you. Oh, you might as well come on now. Amen. Sometimes I don't think we really know ourselves like we ought to know ourselves. And we make claims for ourselves that are just as far from being true as night is from day. Hallelujah. God knows, as I was telling the folk in Kentucky last week this time, there have been times in my life, and as I heard my brother preach today, that the Bible said, oh, I'm sorry, the Bible said, love your enemies. That's not a small package, my friend. It's not an easy thing to find yourself loving somebody that's digging the dirt out from under your feet, and you know they are. It's not an easy thing to forgive somebody that's looking you in your face and stabbing you in your back. It's not an easy thing to know somebody is trying to rob you of what little name you have and still shaking your hand and say, praise the Lord, brother. It's not an easy thing to have to face a Judas every day and still be like Jesus. It's not an easy thing for somebody to take your money and refuse to pay you back and call themselves your brother. It's not an easy thing to know that somebody hates you without a cause. Hallelujah! And I'll have to tell you that you don't always succeed in overcoming it like you should. And it's right there that it's a good thing to have somebody. Thank God in the heavens that can help you on your way. Don't you ever tell anybody that you don't need Jesus. You need him every day of your life. Hallelujah. And you need him to help you over the rough places in your life. You need him to help you up the rough side of your mountain. You need him to help you be what he would have you to be in the most trying circumstance. It's a good thing to know we have a great high priest. Glory to God. Somebody in the heavens that knows all about our lives, has lived down here where you live, has gone through what you go through, and overcome the devil, and is telling you, you can make it. You can make it. You can make it. Thank God you can make it. Oh, hallelujah. I feel like preaching tonight. Somebody. Glory to God. Somebody said, you can take all the time you want. If God will give me the strength, I might just try that too. Amen. Hallelujah. The book of Hebrews to me is one of the books that every preacher ought to swallow. Hallelujah. Because it shows the superiority of Jesus Christ over everything that the religion of Judaism had to offer. Hallelujah. The key word for the book is better. Everything that Christ has to offer is better than anything that has ever been offered. Hallelujah. The book starts out most peculiarly, and so far as I'm concerned, St. Paul is the author of this book. There are scholars that would question that, but in my own thinking, I always dispute the scholars, because there's some things in it that could only apply to St. Paul. They say, well, it doesn't follow his style. Yes, and when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of a man, he doesn't have any set style. Hallelujah. He just might change his style in the middle of a sermon. He just might change his style in the middle of a prayer. The Holy Ghost determines what his style is going to be. The Holy Ghost determines how he's going to act. All you've got to do is just be ready for any change the Holy Ghost wants to make. Hallelujah. This letter doesn't follow the form of the other Pauline epistles. He doesn't introduce himself. He doesn't say, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother. But he is so caught up with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And woe be unto the preacher that doesn't get lost sometime preaching Jesus. Woe be under the preacher that doesn't get beside himself preaching Jesus. You know what I've done? I've made myself some notes sometime to preach a sermon and got carried away with Jesus and forgot the notes and wound up somewhere way out in space and couldn't get back to the notes to save my life. Hallelujah. I was just wrapped up and filled with Jesus. Hallelujah. And the writer of this book starts out with a simple word, God. God, comma, who in divers times, sundry times and in divers places, spake unto our fathers by the prophets, has changed his mouthpiece. Instead of having the prophets, he now is speaking in a son. And he gives you seven things that puts the son above the prophets. Hallelujah. For Jesus is greater than any prophet that ever lived. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is heir of all things. He upholds the earth and all created things by the word of his power. He's the effulgence of glory. He's the brightness of glory and the effulgence of light. Hallelujah. He, after he had purged sin by the sacrifice of himself, sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. And because of his sacrificial work, he has obtained a better name than any angel. His name is better than the name Michael. His name is better than the name Gabriel. His name is better than the name Ariel. His name is better than the name Jehovah. His name is better than the name Isaiah. His name is better than the name Jeremiah. His name is better than the name Ezekiel. None of those names have salvation wrapped up in him. But an angel said one morning, call his name Jesus. Call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Not only does he have a better name, he has better word than any angel. To which of the angels did God say, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? To which of the angels did God say, I will declare thy name in the midst of the brethren? Hallelujah. If you move to chapter 2, he lets you know we ought to give a more earnest heed to what does Jesus have to say. For if the word spoken by angels stood steadfast, and every sin and transgression received a recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which began to be spoken unto us by our Lord, confirmed by the prophets, and sanctified by the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah! Everything he wraps around Jesus. Lord, have mercy. Glory. You know what? I found that Jesus Christ is the center. Men would like for you to believe that they are the center of the creation. I have news for you. You are not the center of nothing, but a whole lot of trouble. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And some of us Pentecostals have the nerve to think that God can't do it without us. Get down off of your throne. God's got somebody that can get the job done. If he never uses you, he's got somebody somewhere that can get the job done. Hallelujah. He doesn't have to depend on you. He's got somebody that'll get it done. And he can bypass you and forget you ever lived. Hallelujah. Some things I want to tell you about the high priest before I invite you to him. The second chapter of the book of Hebrews lets you know two outstanding reasons why Jesus came to the earth. For as much then, in verse 14, have we, his children, were partakers of flesh and blood. He also likewise took part of the same. Hallelujah. He didn't always have flesh and blood, but since we had it, he took it. Hallelujah. And the writer said that he might be made like unto the brethren. There's another reason why. If he was going to be our Redeemer, according to the law, he could not be our Redeemer and not be our near kinsman. For every Redeemer had to be kin to the person that had the possession that had to be redeemed. And as God, he did not bat in our league. As God, he didn't live on my level. Thank God. But he took on one of these so he could become one of us. He entered the human family through the incarnation. He bypassed a human father because he did not want the taint of sin in his bloodstream. But he picked up a natural mother so he could be like you and me. He could have human tendencies. He could hurt like we hurt. His heart could be broken like ours. He could just sleepy like you and I. He had to have some food to eat, and he had to have some water to drink. But don't you ever play him cheap. He was very man of very man, and very God of very God. And because he lived in a body, didn't stop him from being God. Can I talk about him a while? Oh, hallelujah. I like to talk about him because he's a miracle man. He was the creator who became the creature and did not cease to be the creator. He is the father who became the son and did not cease to be the father. He is the first who became the last and did not cease to be the first. He is the Alpha who became the Omega and did not cease to be the Omega. He was the root of David, who became the offspring of David, and did not cease to be the root of David. He's God above the heavens, who became God under the heavens, and still control the heavens. He's the fountain of living waters, who became the bread of life, and did not cease to be the fountain of waters. He was a strong one, who became weak, and was still strong. He was a man of unlimited mind, that limited his mind to a human brain, and still had unlimited wisdom. Hallelujah! He's a man that was so poor, he didn't have an address, and yet he knew where all of us lived. Lord have mercy. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. He is a man that was so poor, he didn't have enough money to feed his own picnic. But what do you need with money when you can break bread and make bread? What do you need with money when you can break fish and make fish? Hallelujah! Glory to God. Amen. He's a man that could shed tears and wipe his eyes and tell two mourning sisters, I am the resurrection and the life, and whosoever believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall live again. And stand before a tomb and call a dead man out of his grave. He was a man that was so poor, he couldn't pay his own taxes, yet he knew where there was a fish. Amen. Parked by the seashore, that didn't even have a coin in his mouth, but it parked him there with the tax money in his mouth to pay his taxes. Oh! Hallelujah.
There it is. I'm talking about Jesus now. He's a man that got so tired, he laid down in the boat to take himself a nap. And while he's sleeping, the winds begin to have a frolic, and the waves dance with the winds. And somebody shook him and woke him out of his sleep. Just walked to the prow of the ship and told the waves, lay down. And looked at the winds and said, shut up. Oh. Hallelujah. And there was a great calm. Hallelujah. I love him tonight. Yes, I do. Amen. He came from glory. I've lived in my world 33 and a half years. But he wasn't here to pray. And he didn't come here just to die. I'm feeling all right now. Oh, is it gone? But something else. Since he was going to try to help you, he had to come down here to see how you live. Even though he'd made a man, he'd never been one. And you can't help anybody that you don't know nothing about. Amen. Sometimes we try to give folk advice, and we've never been where they've been. Hallelujah. I've seen folk that wasn't a parent of nothing try to give some parents some advice how to raise their children. You can't tell nobody how to raise children until you raise some of your own. Amen. I looked had a man one time that had a child, and I said in my ignorance, if that was my boy, I'd snatch a knot in his neck. But I didn't have any, and God gave me a daughter, and I didn't snatch one knot in her neck. It was altogether a different story. When God gave me one, and I preach sermons and preach them to over people's relatives that were dead and told them not to weep, and God could bind up their broken hearts. And I don't know what all I preach, but I haven't had the death of the mother or the death of the father. It was a different situation when I had to sit on that front row and my mother was laying there. I cried, hear me. And ever since that day, I've had some compassion on crying relatives. I learned my compassion by having to cry myself. I'm so glad I can tell you tonight that Jesus didn't take his seat on the throne until he had been down here and walked where you walk and hurt like you hurt and cry like you cry. Hated by brethren like you were hated. You know the reason why? He said in himself, there's coming a day when my children are coming to me, and I want to know, I want to have some experiential knowledge of what it's all about. So when Upton comes to me with tears in his eye, and he's not calling Golder, he's calling Jesus. Oh, Jesus. He's calling somebody that's touched by the feelings of his infirmities. You don't touch Jesus telling him how strong you are. You don't touch Jesus telling him how big you are. Oh, but when you come to him and your heart's broken and you come crying, oh, Jesus. Sometimes he don't even have to answer you. He just touched you. He knows all about you. He's had his heart broken. And he knows what to do for you. We have a great high priest. You know where he is? He's in the heavens. But he passed from down here up there. Glory to God. Somebody said, Jesus don't know. Yes, he does. Anything you suffered, he suffered before you. He knows what it means to be born on the wrong side of the tracks. He knows what it means to have folk talk about you. Hallelujah. About your birth, you know. You know that fellow sitting out there? He's born out of wedlock. They said that about Jesus, too. When he was grown, they called him a son of fornication, a grown man. He knows something about that, too. But I don't have money to pay my bills. He knows about that, too. And you know, I don't own the house I live in. He knows about that, too. He really didn't have any house. The foxes had holes. The birds, oh, they had nests. But Jesus didn't have an address. Amen. Hallelujah. So he knows about that, too. Glory to God. He knows that there's some folk that are so evil in this world, they'll say anything they can to hurt you. He knows about that, too. He knows what it means to have a family turn against you when you become the Son of God. His family turned against him. He knows what it means to have a mother that don't understand your calling. His mother didn't understand his calling, but he wasn't here to live for her primarily. He was here to live for you and 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 you. So when you come to him, he can tell you yes, 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 yes. Glory to God. Get me a chair. Hallelujah. And you sit in it out there. Hallelujah. Can we just let him be our high priest tonight? Glory to God. Just let him play the part of my Jesus tonight. And you know what? He's trying to encourage you to come boldly to him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You see, you can't have boldness when you're ignorant. Glory to God. That's right. I went to buy a building once for a church, and I couldn't talk to the president of High Seal Test Ice Cream like I should have. I didn't know him. Amen. And I sat there for about 5 minutes and made up a conversation to talk some of that fear out of me and talk some of that shakiness out of me before I ever presented him with the reason why I came. I was shaking because, first of all, he was the president, and secondly, I didn't know him, and I didn't know how he was going to react. Glory to God. So I just sat there, and I asked him, how are you feeling? I didn't come to find out about his feelings. Amen. Nice day, isn't it? I wasn't concerned about the day. I was trying to get out of that fear I had. My knees were shaking. It was the president of Seal Test Ice Cream. And I was scared. But when I come to the throne, I have no fears. Long before I approached the throne, I met Jesus. And he and I are on good speaking terms. And I can talk to him tonight without fearing my soul. He knows me and I know him. I've called him many a time. Jesus! And you know, I'm so glad for that. Brother Pitkin, I'm so glad that I don't have to call three persons to get the one I want. Hey. Hey. Hallelujah. I don't have to call the father and feel bad and think maybe the son is going to get jealous because I'm calling the father all the time. And I don't have to call Jesus sick, and maybe the father don't like it because I'm calling Jesus all the time. And I don't have to feel bad thinking. But when you stop to think that the one that we're dealing with was the father in creation, and became the Lord after a creation. Came for him to rule over it. And he who was the Father in creation becomes the Son in redemption. And goes to Calvary and sheds his blood that he might redeem the human element in his creation. And then since I need somebody to go along with me every day, he becomes the Spirit called the Holy Ghost that dwells in me. And all I've got to do is just wrap all that up and call Jesus. Jesus! And I have both Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Yeah. And since I know him, my knees don't buckle. Hallelujah. And since I know he's been where I've been and lived where I lived, I'm at home talking to him. Since he lived down here where I live, and devils holler to him, it doesn't bother me because they holler at me. Amen. They holler at Jesus. And who am I to keep them from hollering at me? Glory to God. And since he was down here and got tired, then I'm acquainted with getting tired. Glory to God. And I don't mind getting tired for Jesus. Glory to God. And since he was down here and cried sometime, I don't mind crying. I'm talking to somebody that's been down here and cried. Since he was down here and his heart was broken, I don't mind my heart being broken. His heart was broken. Since they talked about him like a dog, you don't hurt my feelings. And if you do, I'm not coming back to you. We have a high priest. And if I feel like crying, you know what I told the folks? Let me tell you something. I told my enemies, I'm not going to let you make me cry. And make me cry in public to make you think you hurt my feelings. Anytime I get ready to do one of them big cries, I know where to go. I have a high priest on the throne. And I'll go and cry on his lap.
Oh, that's it.
You can't do nothing to help me. But he's been here and cried. And he knows how to take care. Oh, he knows how to take care. Glory to God. Glory to God. And listen, you don't touch him. You don't touch him with telling him how big and how bad and how good you are. You touch him with the feelings of your infirmities. Oh, Jesus, help me today. Oh, Jesus, I need some more love today. Jesus, I need some more kindness to me. That's what touches him. And when you can touch him like that, you can almost hear him saying, yes, yes. Father, I come to you because I needed something. And I can't find it nowhere else. I'm that long-suffering, Lord. And sometimes my wife gets on my nerves, and I feel, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. We have such a high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Oh, hallelujah. You touch him. You touch him with the feeling of your weaknesses. Sometimes when you feel like opening your mouth and laying somebody else out. I had to tell a man one time, listen, I'm not keeping my mouth shut because I don't know what to say. I can say everything that needs to say and then add something to it. All right. But if I do, I'm out. Yes. So, instead of saying it, yes. I went to my high priest.
All right.
Oh, sir. Help me. Help me, Jesus. Help me. Isn't that the reason why I said come? that you might receive help. Well, I know some of you don't think you need any, but if you get, honestly, your eyes open, you'll find out you need some help. And you don't need help over cigarettes as much as you need help over hate. And I realize there's some folk that's hard to love. Everybody's not easy to love. Come on here. Don't get... No, no. There's some folk hard to love. I tell folks sometimes, it's hard. You never saw. I got some folk in my church, bless their hearts. And they're always talking about, the people don't love me like they should. You have never seen a swing constructed on a thorn tree. You have never seen anybody leaning up against a thorn tree in the shade.
That's right. That's right.
You don't read why? The thorns say, stay away from here. Don't get close to me. Thorns are sticking out there. They're sticking if you get too close. Mm-hmm. And you got a lot of thorn-free saints. And any time you get close, look out, you're going to get hurt. But you don't have any trouble out of fruit trees. I had a cousin that had a beautiful peach tree that produced some of the most beautiful peaches I ever seen in my life. And that poor tree suffered until they broke it down. You know the reason why? Fruit. Fruit. Buckets, sticks, and anything else that knocked those peaches off was under that tree. You know the reason why I suffered? Fruit. Fruit. And anytime you become a fruit-bearing product in God, you will suffer. You will suffer. And you'll suffer because you're bearing fruit. And you're going to have to come to the high priest often to get your wounds repaired. In knocking the fruit off that hurts you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We have a great high priest. And you know what? Something that our brother from Memphis preached today. The Lord is pitiful. Lord have mercy. When you stop to think how much compassion God has on all of us, and sometimes we can't have one day's mercy on a brother or sister. Lord, we need some grace to help in our time of need. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. And we have not an elder, we have a high priest. Somebody on the throne. And let me tell you something as a saint of God. When you bring yourself before God, don't fix yourself up. Come just as ragged and naked as you are. I hear folk praying. I know good and well the Lord didn't hear what they had to say. I know it down here. It didn't have to get to the throne. I know it didn't get there. Reason? They're telling God how good they are. Lord, I've been saved all day. No evil have I done. You better wait a minute. You had better wait a minute. Just say I haven't done it as far as I know. And usually when we say that, we're talking about either tobacco, whiskey, or women. There's a whole lot of other evils you might have done. Amen, amen, amen. How have you treated your brothers today? How have you treated your neighbors today? How many debts do you have that you're getting by and won't pay? That's evil too. Come on, that's evil too. How many folks you won't even smile at? How many folks you won't even get near in church? How many folks do you go down the aisle over there instead of coming down the middle because you know they're going down the middle?
Come on.
How many ties did you keep because you said the preacher wasn't worthy of having them? Who made you the judge to tell whether he should have them or not? You know what I told some folks? If your preacher takes the tithes and you see him, if he hasn't got no more sense than to take a match and burn him up, you pay him. You have cleared yourself of paying him. If he burns him up with a match, him and God for that. And I don't know anybody so crazy that he burn tithes with a match. That's first of all, they're not getting that many. Amen. Hallelujah. How many? And we need to come. You know, I feel something. A whole lot of us have got some confessions to make.
All right.
And a whole lot of us don't believe in it.
All
right. Don't believe in it. And all of them don't belong to Jesus. We owe some to one another. If I trespass against you, brother, you don't even need me going to, Oh, Jesus, I hurt my brother. No, I'm supposed to see you and talk to you. Hey, come on. And don't be so proud you can't come. My brother, I hurt you. I did you wrong. I sinned against you, my brother. And I want you to forgive me. I want you to. And this is not a three-way street. You're not supposed to take anybody with you, just you and him. And you don't tell everybody you know, just you and him. Will you forgive me? Pray for me. You're my brother and I love you. Pray for me. I'm going to take you to God and I want you to take me to God. And if my heart's right, it stops right there. It don't go any further. I don't get my favorite brother and tell him, you know what? I went to that fellow over there. He ain't right. Something wrong with that fella. No. I'm the fella that's wrong. Amen. Praise the Lord. And even if we didn't get together, he says, go get you somebody else. It's still not church matter. Go get you somebody else. Now, I would suggest that you don't go and get your bosom friend to go with you. If you're really honest, you'll get yourself somebody that's not involved. So you'll find nobody to be on your side. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah to God. It still don't go to the pastor. It's between 1, 2, 3 saints. If we got it straightened out, it still doesn't get to the pastor. I know there's some. Well, you know, there's so many things that we have to go to a high priest for. You remember the evening hymn that used to be sung years ago? If I have wounded any soul today, wonder if I have. If I've hurt somebody's feelings. I had a man come to me not too very long ago, said, Elder Gorder, I got something to tell you. You hurt my feelings. Me? Yeah. I said, when? I said, well, listen, that doesn't matter. When you say I hurt them, it doesn't matter when. It really doesn't matter how. You say I hurt them, then I'm vowing myself right now to tell you I'm sorry that I hurt your feelings. Will you forgive me and try me one more time? And I'll be more careful the next time not to hurt your feelings. But some of us, you know, we like to walk around, well, ought to put your feelings inside your pocket and stop carrying them on your shoulder. It don't make no difference why he carries them. You're not supposed to hurt them. Did you hear that, Seth? Don't make no difference where he cast him. You're not supposed to hurt him because you know he's got 10 to feel. Hallelujah. How am I doing? I'm trying to get you up here to go to heaven. Well, you're not going to heaven looking at everybody cross-eyed. You're not going to heaven with somebody you couldn't shake hands with down here. Somebody you couldn't worship with in this church and going to heaven and spend eternity with him. No, you're going to have to learn how to spend 24 hours with him down here. Don't you know you're not going to bypass saints down here and fly with them out? No, no, no. Can I say something to you? Maybe my presence here makes some of you feel kind of funny. I tell you what you better do, you better forget it. And the reason why you better forget it, because I'm going where you're going. And you just getting acquainted with me. I won't be around for all eternity, honey. A long time, so you might as well get acquainted with it now, for I expect for you to see it throughout the ceaseless ages. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I can tell you now, I haven't seen nobody in here that I don't love right now. I could go to heaven with everybody in this room right now. Right now, right now. And some of you I've seen for my first time. But listen, all of you look sanctified to me. All of you look spirit-filled to me. Glory. 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 Your skin doesn't hurt me nor excite me. I'm not fellowshipping with you because I like your looks. Before I got saved, I told a man one time. I said, I hate your looks. But you know what? He made me feel like a nickel. He looked at me and said, Golden, I haven't got a thing to do with my looks. I came in the world looking just like I'm looking now. He said, if I could change it, I might change it. But I can't do nothing about it. Lord, I turned my back and walked away feeling like a sheep-killing dog. That's right. And all it is, I can't help the way I look. And every one of us can say the same thing. There may be somebody that don't like the way I look. I told somebody last week, if it hadn't been that I had the rickets when I was a baby, I'd most likely have wound up 6 foot tall. But I had the rickets. And my legs bowed on me. And I got about 3 or 4 inches wrapped up in a bow, honey. And the truth of the matter is, I don't like myself. I'd like to be son of everybody. Lord, I'd like to be as tall as this fellow is here. But you see where I am. You got to love me. Even though I have to look up at you, you got to love me. Hallelujah! Don't fall out with folks because they don't look like you want them to look. They didn't have nothing to do with it. And if God loves them and died for them, washed them in his blood, filled them with the Holy Ghost, who are you to turn against? You better come on to the high priest and tell him, Lord, give me some love from a brother. Help me to love him like you know. Glory to God. The love of God is almost like a mother's love. My baby brother was a rascal. He's saved now, thank God. I saw him come down the aisle that a Sunday to come to Jesus. But when he was just a youngster, a teenager, he was drinking and carrying on. My mother come to church. She was a member of the church that I pastored. She came, I said, "Mom, how are you feeling this morning?" She said, "Not too good, son." So that baby brother of yours came in this early this morning, and he was drunk and falling over things and knocking over this and that and the other. And I'm just as nervous as I can be. And I have to tell you, I got hot. You hear me? I got hot. I told Mama, I said, "Listen, Mother, you don't have to take that. You've done brought these children in the world and brought them up, and that boy is old enough to know how to live. And he ought to have enough respect for you in these closing days of your life that he lets you live peaceably and enjoy the last few days. And Mother, he's got two jobs. He's making better than $125 a week. Why don't you tell him to pack his little duds and get out of there?" And she stood there missing. And I could have looked in her face and told her she wasn't going to do it. But I told her, "Listen, Mother, if you don't do it, you just give me the privilege and I'll come out that house and pack every rag he's got and roll it up in a package and have it at the door when he comes home this evening and tell him, 'Pick up your package and hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more. No more, no more.'" I guess I was so strict with it. You know, my mother then, she looked me right straight in the eye. Said, "Yes, but that's my baby." After telling me how he's acting, and got me all stirred up because of the way he's acting, I was coming on too strong. What to do with her baby? She said, "But that's my baby." Well, I got a lesson from that. The devil can tell God anything he wants to tell him on you and me. You ought to send him to hell. He's not good enough to go to heaven. And Jesus can say, "Yes. Yes. You're just wasting your time. Yes. He got fit to be a fool with. Yes. Why are you waiting for him to get holy for? Why don't you just send him to hell now?" You can almost hear the high priest said, "But I died for him."
Yeah.
I died for him. You didn't die for him. I died for him. I shed my blood for him. I went to the cross for him. I went to hell for him. You don't tell me what to do with my blood-bought child. Bless God's name. And you know what he said? "Come boldly. Come boldly." When you come to pray, you don't have to come quibbly. You don't have to come mincing. You don't have to come like I wanted that president's life. I was about half scared. I knocked on the door and said, "Office of the president." And somebody said, "Come in." I couldn't hardly walk. When I got in, he said, "How do you do, sir?" "How do you do?" He talked to me with authority. "How do you do? Your name?" I said, Reverend Gould. "And your business?" I almost forgot what I went there for. He talked with authority. "Your business?" I said, "I come to talk to you about a building that you own. I'd like to buy it." "Have a seat." I said, "What building do you have in mind?" But I just wasn't at home. I needed somebody in there with me. So, and I expect the first 5 minutes, as the old folk used to say, cat had my tongue. I couldn't think, I couldn't talk. After so long a time, the ability to converse with him came. But you don't have to be that way about Jesus. How many of you have been baptized in his name? How many of you have been filled with the Holy Ghost? You know him. Or you should. Have you felt his presence? You know how it feels to have him around you? Have you talked to him before? You know what it means to talk to him? There ought to be a relationship established. So, you can come boldly. You don't have to come, I'm scared. I'm afraid. That word boldness is used again in the book of Hebrews. Having therefore, brethren, bold, to enter into the holiest of all. Walk right in where God is, boldly. Bold. Walk right in. Shoulders back. Cadence right. In the presence of God, yeah! Sure! Living sober and talk right straight to the throne. Like Charles, talk straight to the throne. Don't need nobody to come between you and talk. Talk for yourself. Well, you can tell them better than anybody else can. Nobody can tell your condition better than you can. Somebody says, what gives you the boldness? He tells you in that book. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Sometimes the devil makes you think you haven't got any right to pray. Tell him that's right. That's right. But I'm praying anyhow. You haven't got any right to come to the throne. That's right, but I'm coming anyhow. You haven't got any right to talk to him. That's right, but I'm going to talk to him anyhow. I haven't got no right to tell him nothing, but I'm going to tell him anyhow. And I don't care how many of your devils you bring up here, I'm going in to talk to him anyhow. And if you tell me not to come on what grounds, I'll tell you the blood of Calvary, the blood of the cross, the blood that cleanses man, gives me my right to come right straight to God and talk to God. I don't have to pass by Gabriel, Michael, or Uriah. I can come just as straight to Jesus I want to come.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus, I'll talk to you. Jesus, I want to tell you, come boldly. Come boldly. And when you get there, you don't have to cry it out. Cry if you want to, but you don't have to cry it out. And you know what? I'll tell you about the folks that cry. He knows how to interpret tears. He's the only interpreter of tears that I know. Hallelujah. If you get out on your knees crying, I have done this many times, and I couldn't speak words because my heart was so heavy. And all I did was cry. But I got an answer. Reason? He's the interpreter of tears. He knows why you're crying. And even if you can't tell him, he can still interpret why you're crying. And give you the answer, because he who is your high priest has an infinite mind. And he knows why people cry. He did some of the crying when he was here. Isn't that nice? Sometimes folk can mistake why folk are crying. There was a woman crying in the back of church I used to pastor. And she'd just stand by there. And she would just cry. Saints passed by and had compassion on her while she was crying. Somebody said, oh, honey, God bless you. She stopped crying long enough to say, I'm not crying because I'm hurt. I'm crying because I can't slap that sister. So you can't always tell, but he who is seated on the throne tonight knows when you come. And your tears are meaningful. Your tears are just. You can come boldly. And you know what? You don't have to pray beautiful prayers. Pray meaningful prayers. You may not even have it straight. But pray it like you feel it. There's an old black brother many years ago down here in Red Bank, Mississippi. He didn't know how to pray prayers
as nicely as we pray. But he prayed one.
All right.
Oh, Lord, give thy servant this morning the eyes of an eagle. Perpetual, he didn't say perpetual, but perpetual motion in his arms. Anoint him all over with the kerosene oil of thy salvation. Give him the eyes of an eagle that he can see sin fall.
All right.
Yes. Anoint him all over with the possum oil of the Holy Ghost. And set him on fire. Sot
him on fire.
Sot him on fire. God didn't care because he said sot instead of set. God anointed his soul. When a man prays sincerely and honestly and needs help from God, God overlooks his English and sends him what he needs. Listen, there was a hippie in Chicago about 6 months ago, walked in one of the Holy Ghost churches with all of his hippie regalia on. Long beard, long hair. Hippie from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. The preacher preached that morning that God would give the Holy Ghost to anybody that would believe. When he extended the invitation, here come the hippie. He's the only fellow that comes. And he didn't look like he wanted anybody's Holy Ghost. When he got down to the altar, the preacher said to him, "What do you want?" He said, "I want whatever that Holy Ghost is you just got to talking about. I want that." The preacher told him, "Lift up your hands and pray." He didn't know nothing about praying. He lifted up his hands and said, "All right, Jesus, sock it to me." He said that on a Sunday morning in a church in Chicago. You know what was? What happened? The Holy Ghost fell on him and started speaking in tongues, right? Yeah. Hallelujah! That'd been some of us. We wouldn't have given the Holy Ghost because of the way he said it. "You don't come talking to me." Sometimes we get too big for our britches. "You don't talk to me like that. I'm a man of God." He was talking to God. And God knew he didn't know any other way to pray. He didn't know any other way to pray. And he sat, and God looked down in his heart and looked over his expression and gave him the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. He didn't even say a hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You know what? I'm glad Jesus is seated on the throne. Do you hear me? I'm glad he's there rather than you. Because it'd be sometimes I wouldn't get no help. No, you wouldn't help me. You wouldn't help me. But since he's there and he knows all about me from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet and knows all the trouble I'm having, sometimes I can call him and don't say another word. Jesus! And here comes help. Jesus! And here comes help. I think I was telling them in Louisville last week. I was coming back from Louisville, Arkansas some years ago and had a front tire that blew out riding 75 miles an hour down a hill. And I was headed just as sure as my name is Golder to a ditch. My wife was sitting in the front and she saw me wrestling with that steering wheel. She didn't try to help me. She called on somebody that could. Jesus! And I felt some strength coming. And the wrestle was over, honey. I pulled that thing back in the road and parked it like I wanted to park it. I didn't have to. I just blew the tire, Lord. By the time I'd have got that kind of prayer out, I'd have been in a ditch. I just blew the tire, Lord, and I can't drive this thing. I can't steer it. Jesus! Here comes steering strength. Jesus!
Here come all the help I needed. Didn't have to word it all out and telling him every little detail. Just call him and here come. Hallelujah. We have an high priest. And he can be touched with what we feel. That's what touches him. And if you are honest enough with him to come to him boldly and be honest with him. Be honest. Tell it like it is. Don't be Adamic and put on somebody else. Hadn't been for old John, I never would have been in it. Hadn't been for old Mary, I never would have been at. Be honest. You have to give the last word for any sin you commit. The devil can't give your last word. The devil can't touch you with no sin until you acknowledge you want it. He can present it to you, but until you say yes, it's still his property. And if you never say yes, it's still his property. I have to give the word of consent before he can do anything. If I never give the word of consent, he'll have to go on back to his store with his goods. He can't do nothing with it. Oh, hallelujah. We have a high priest. And he can be touched. Oh, God, I've touched him so many times. And I know, you know what? I know Jesus loves me. How many of you folk, beyond the shadow of a doubt, know that Jesus loves you? This church sang a chorus this morning. Yes, Jesus loves you. But I sing it just a little bit different. While they were singing the one, I sing by another one. They were singing, "For the Bible tells me so." I didn't sing that. May I tell you something? That chorus is for children in kindergarten. All right. That's not for adult saints that have walked with God for a while. I sing it too. I love it. Yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, I can sing it. Yes. Jesus loves me. I can sing it again happy. Yes, Jesus loves me. For, not the Bible tells me so. My experience tells me so. You can't walk with Jesus a half a century and your experience not tell you something. I have first-hand knowledge that Jesus loves me. If I hadn't read it in the Bible, what he has done for me lets me know he loves me. I know he loves me. Dumb enough. I could sit here the rest of this night and tell you things that he did for me. He's a miracle worker, and I know it. I have one daughter in the year of 1937 when she was about to be born. My wife was in labor 52 hours and no child. She rushed to the hospital. The doctor came out of the delivery room and said to me, "You're going to have to make up your mind, young man, which one of the two you want. Your wife or the child, or your child or the wife." I said, "Now listen, doctor, you know that's an unfair question. You know what I'm going to say. I want both wife and child." He looked me in my face and said, "You say you're a preacher?" I said, "Yes, sir." "You know God?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You better start talking to him." I said, "That's no problem. That's no problem. I've called him up. I know his number by heart. That's no problem. Jesus!" And I started right then. I had to go downtown to do some business. And you see, sometimes God lets pressures get you. And those pressures will knock all the pride you got in you out. I went right down in the heart of St. Louis, right on the main street. And brother, I prayed out loud. I was in trouble. And I had to get a call through quickly. Jesus! Tears rolling down my cheeks, and folks looked at us, calling him out loud. Jesus! Folks were looking at us. Jesus! And in between, I said, Lord, I want my child. I want my wife, Lord. Jesus! I want whatever obstruction there is, I want you to move it. I want you to move it. I want both of them, Jesus. I'm not settling for one. I want both of them, Lord. I need both of them. I need my wife and I want my baby. Oh, hallelujah. I came back to the hospital. Child hadn't been delivered yet. He said, your prayer. I said, I'm still praying. He said, we're going back in. He said, we might have to do a cesarean section. I said, well, I'm praying. You know what? I happen to know something about that kind of sleep that God let fall on Adam so he didn't know what was going on. A sleep fell on me and I didn't know I was alive, where I was, what time of day or what. The next call I heard was that physician and I could hear him in my sleep and couldn't wake up. Reverend! Reverend! And the closer I came back to reality, I could feel him shaking. Wake up, wake up, wake up! It's all over! Your God must have had you! Your God must have had you! You've got a wife and an 8 3/4 pound girl. Yes, Jesus loved me. Yes, he loved me. Both of them, both of them. Because a man says no doesn't mean God saying no. Don't mean it all. And I like God because he can pick up where men leave off and work a miracle. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have a great high priest. And when you get ready to pray, remember you don't have to come kneeling mouth. You don't have to come quibbling. I'm scared. That's your Father up there on the throne. And you can touch him. And you can touch him with your needs. You can touch him with your feelings of infirmity. You can touch him. You can touch him when other men say you can't. You can touch him for yourself.